It's really the team, and we want to make sure that in every way that we can, within the way that we work, our processes, how we work with each other, how our systems are set up, we tell our employees, our team, that they are the ones that are making the business run. They are the most important people in our organization. We've looked at a lot of research that shows that whenever you have an inspired employee, somebody that feels like they're really truly connected to the organization's mission, they are over 2 times more productive than an average employee. It's intentional because we want to make sure that we have an employee first organization, but also a little bit selfish because we know that it's going to help us have a much better and stronger organization. And we talk about that too within the team. Like I tell all my leaders to tell their teams, and I talk to the team directly, is we're here to serve you. We're here to support you. We're here to make you successful. If you're not successful, nothing happens.
But I am the world's biggest super fan.
You're like a super fan.
Welcome to the Business Superfans Podcast. We will discuss how establishing business superfans from customers, employees, and business partners can elevate your success exponentially. Learn why these advocates are a key factor to achieving excellence in the world of commerce. We discuss the invaluable insights of business owners who have successfully implemented the strategies in the book to build their own team of devoted superfans. Gain insightful knowledge from the experts who create applications to help you create passionate superfans. This is the Business Superfans Podcast. With your host, Freddie D.
Freddie!
Hey, superfan superstar, Freddie D here. In this episode 117, we're joined by Jaime Raul Zepeda, a workplace culture architect and executive leader passionate about transforming how we experience work. Jaime has dedicated his career to helping companies create environments where people feel fulfilled, engaged, and empowered. From his rise to an executive role at Great Place to Work, impacting thousands of organizations, to his current leadership as executive vice president at Best Companies Group, he has helped over 4,000 companies build thriving, high-performance cultures. With deep insights from years of research and an MBA from Berkeley Haas School of Business, Jaime believes true success comes from employees who are both happy and growing. Today, he partners with business leaders nationwide to measure, understand, and transform workplace culture, proving that investing in people drives success for everyone. We're thrilled to have him here to share his experience and inspire us to reimagine our workplace. Welcome, Jaime, to the Business Superfans Podcast Show. We're super excited to have you on the show. How are you today?
I'm doing great, Freddie. How you doing?
I'm excited about this conversation. Really wanted into really what Best Companies is all about. And we had a great conversation before we started recording, so let's continue that conversation. One of the things noticed on your website is the fact that the team is first and the leadership is on the bottom, where you go to a majority of websites, it's the other way around. It's the leadership first and then the team's at the bottom. And as we talked, the team is really what makes the company roll.
It's really the team, and we want to make sure that in every way that we can, within the way that we work, our processes, how we work with each other, how our systems are set up, we tell our employees, our team, that they are the ones that are making the business run. They are the most important people in our organization. We've looked at a lot of research that shows that whenever you have an inspired employee, somebody that feels like they're really truly connected to the organization's mission, they are over 2 times more productive than an average employee. It's intentional because we want to make sure that we have an employee first organization, but also a little bit selfish because we know that it's going to help us have a much better and stronger organization. And we talk about that too within the team. Like I tell all my leaders to tell their teams, and I talk to the team directly, is we're here to serve you. We're here to support you. We're here to make you successful. If you're not successful, nothing happens.
Absolutely correct. So let's go back to the beginning. And what's your backstory And how did you get involved with the organization?
Yeah. So it started when I read a book that I'm not sure if you read that really just hit me hard. It's Drive by Dan Pink.
No,
I've never read that. If you've seen that. It's a great book. It talks about what motivates us at work. What's the thing that keeps us going and actually makes us want to do better? He breaks it down into, really, we want to feel really good about the work that we're doing. We want to feel like we're making progress. We want to feel like we have some agency in the work that we do. And we want to feel like we belong to something bigger than ourselves. Now, I think we can all agree that's something that's really important, regardless of whether it's work or family or community. I started thinking, how much of our time do we spend at work? We spend more time at work than we do with our families. We spend more time talking to our manager than we do talking to our spouse. So why not make that the best experience we can make? And as I dug deeper into it, found out that it's not just good for the employee, it's good for the organization. There's a lot of information out there that shows that if you're a best place to work, if you're an organization that does that really well, you beat the market. You are more profitable. You are more innovative. And so that started my career in this space. Now I've been in it for 15 years. I started when I was at Great Place to Work. Great Place to Work is the research and analytics firm that helps Fortune magazine create the 100 best companies to work for list every year. So whenever you go to your grocery store and you see that there, that's the company that does all the work on the back end. And then I did a couple of roles in HR to really live that role and understand it better. And now I have the privilege of leading Best Companies Group, which works with over 10,000 organizations to help them understand and then evolve their workplace to become one of the best in the country.
What a great background and the variations of different areas that you worked in to give you the background that you have to do what you're doing today. One of the quotes that I wrote in my book, Creating Business Superfans, is people will crawl through broken glass for appreciation and recognition.
Yeah. And it doesn't happen as often as people think.
Correct.
Especially leaders think that they recognize more than they actually do. They recognize at a level that's sufficient. And the data proves that's not true. The difference between an employee who gets recognized weekly is three times more impactful, right?
And the other thing too is, Jaime, is that if I recognize you personally, all right, that's wonderful, that's great. But if I stop and say, hey, everybody, I want to take a moment to recognize Jaime on this extra little project that he's done and he really killed it for us, everybody gets excited. You feel like a rock star. And then other people go, wow, I'm going to step up my game. And it just changes the dynamics just like that.
And just like that. And sometimes that's too much for some organizations. The organizations that over time we don't hear about anymore, because they go out of business. Culture becomes toxic. People leave.
Because everybody's distracted and they're talking about the negativity. And the negativity just keeps spreading because you get the pollution, I'll call it, into the work environment.
Yeah.
That tonality you can't hide. So someone calls up on the phone, a prospective customer, and someone's not happy about their job, that's going to come across.
Absolutely. One thing I want to pick on that you just mentioned, Freddie, in your example, is if that happens when you have an employee that gets recognized in front of others. Yes, you get the boost of that employee right away. They feel great. They feel like a superstar and they're going to be more motivated to do even more and go above and beyond. An inspired employee is two times more productive than an average one. So you're putting energy into their tank. Keep going. The other thing that it does, and this is the part that a lot of organizations don't think about, is that it tells the story of what it means to succeed in that organization. Because when you say, Freddie, you did a fantastic job on this project, I appreciate all the great work you did in front of everybody else, and you tell the story of what exactly did Freddie do to be such a superstar? He thought about the customer, he was proactive, he searched for an answer, he didn't give up. That if I want to get ahead in this organization, I got to be like Freddie. I got to be proactive. I got to take initiative. I got to be customer first. And so that's how you create culture. You create culture by the things that you promote and the things that you do not allow, right?
Sure.
There's two powerful questions that any leader out there, especially if you're a senior executive or executive, think about. To think about, what is my culture and how do I preserve it? Is one, what are the behaviors that I'm observing that are making us successful? Those are things that you want to keep happening and you want them to grow and you want more people to do, right? So kind of like this example, what did Freddie do to be successful? And then two, what are the behaviors that are not happening that are making us successful? These are the things that you do not want to see grow in your culture like weeds. You want right. to make sure that you don't allow people to do that. You tell them that's not the way that we do it here. And then eventually, maybe you fire them if they sure. do exhibit. Just those two questions, you obsessing about those and thinking about those, you'll create the culture that you want.
And what that does is that transform that team into super fans of that workplace. And so now they're out there promoting to their friends, their family, and their circles of influence. Man, I love my company. I love my job. I look forward to go to work versus, I got to go to work again. A whole different energy. My wife works from home. She's in the other room right now. She works for a company called Hear.com, hearing aids. Most of their team is remote, but they do activities. They do online activities. They do recognition. She wins gift cards. They fly her out for company meeting and everybody gets in together. She's going on past 7 years now at the same company. She's one of their top people. She's got picked to be on a special project, so she's even more motivated. One of my other sayings is the little things are really the big things.
Yeah. Say more about that. Like, what do you mean the little things you're talking about, like the behaviors that we're talking about right now?
And yeah, the simple thank you. Hey, you know what? Yeah. Jaime, I really appreciate that extra effort today. That's it. You don't have to recognize it to everybody. It's just, hey, you went above and beyond. Thanks for taking care of that. I appreciate it. Or let me take you out to lunch. Just little things that don't cost a lot of money, but have really high value to that individual, because then they go home and go, hey, guess what happened? When I get positive reviews and stuff like that for this show, I get all excited and I go share it with my wife.
Because you get the feedback of my work matters.
And exactly.
Which means I matter, which means I matter to this organization, which means I really care about this organization now, because it's a virtuous cycle. A lot of businesses, those that do not care about this, don't think of it that way. They think of it as it's a transaction where we get all the value. We hire an employee, we pay them money, and then we extract all the value we can out of that employee for as long as they want to keep getting the money. I'm being very crude about it, but that's what they think of it like, right?
Absolutely. I worked with a company and we were working with contractors, and the mindset, they should be grateful because we're giving them work. And right. my mindset was, you've got that completely backwards, because they're happened to go to customer as an independent representative of our company. So guess who's the front line? Not you. It's the contractor. That's the front line. It doesn't matter what industry, home improvement or commercial improvement, interpreting services, they all use contractors. That you need to make sure they're super happy about working with you, because that's the representation and they can work for anybody.
Yeah. Just imagine if that thinking was really taken to the logical end, right? If you were at Amazon and you're spending millions of dollars on advertising, you're putting out a huge Super Bowl ad that makes you look great and shows people what you can do and makes people think of Amazon. But then at the same time, all of your employees, especially those that work in customer service, are delivering a terrible experience. Are you really getting ahead?
You're sinking backwards.
You're sinking backwards and you're spending money, wasting money, because you're putting the focus on the wrong thing. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't do those things, but they all go together. You have to think about your employees. As you mentioned here, Freddie, is they have to be your super fans. They have to be excited about talking about where they go to work, talking about the products, talking about the services, potentially bringing in new customers because of how excited they are about the work.
Sure, because the sale, the transaction is not the sale. I've been in sales for many years. The sale begins everything that happens after the transaction. That's the sale, because that's the impression, that's the mindset, and you need to transform that customer into a super fan so they're telling other people and it snowballs. And you're absolutely correct, Jaime, is the fact that that employee, if they're excited and customer calls up, they're going to handle that in a very different way than if somebody is there for a paycheck because they feel underappreciated, they're not recognized, and so they're just going to go through it from a transactional standpoint. And that may be a good or bad experience. You're flipping a coin over that. But what we're talking about is really making sure that experience is solid so that person goes, wow, that was a great experience. I'm going to write these guys a review, because today reviews is the new word of mouth.
It is. You go out there, you can't go to a restaurant without first checking reviews. You want to find out if it's good or not. And now there's a form of reviews for workplaces, right? More and more in the experience of what people feel at work is becoming transparent. And we play a big part in that too. And we're proud of doing that because we do the survey directly to employees and ask them all of these really tough questions. Their responses go directly back to us. The organization, the employer does not have anything to do with that. And then we, from that data, decide, are you truly a best place to work or not? And it's the employee's experience that we gather, right? That's the process that we go through whenever somebody works with us, either through employee engagement surveys, where we help them understand the data and then build a better workplace, or when they just want to get a good sense, are we really a best place to work already? And if so, we'd like to be recognized as one, do both of those things. But the experience comes directly from employees. And then we publish that. We show the world, these are truly best places to work. Here's the data that shows why they are. It's transparent. It's out there. Everybody, even if it weren't out there in a number, people are talking about you as an organization. Whether you like it or not, they're saying things. And ideally, if you're really putting your back into it and you're thinking about it right, they're saying great things about you. So right, that the word spreads, and there's a lot of research that shows that organizations who are known as best place to work in some way, shape, or form, either certified by a third party or they're just known for that, are much more likely to have a positive reputation within the community, which then means a higher number of them are going to become customers. Because what's happening now is a lot of people are buying with their values. Right? I'm not going to shop there because I heard this thing and how they treat their employees. I'm not going to shop there because they don't believe in the things that I believe in. And they have options. It's not like it was 40 years ago where, oh, you got to go get something. You go to Sears, right?
Because that was it.
That was it. I got to go there. I got to get the big fat catalog, which I used to get, and whatever. I would got a kick out of it.
Yeah.
Now you can go anywhere. Okay, so now I can go anywhere. That's from monetized. I'm going to go where I feel like my dollars are really being put to something that I care about. Do they care about their employees? Have I heard good things about them? Do I know if they pay well or not? Do they follow the same values that I do? You got to think about that stuff, because now, not only on the employee side, but on the customer side, there's a demand for organizations to walk the talk and be fair and respectful to their people.
It goes beyond that. And it also goes to, you got the suppliers that you're dealing with. You've got the distributors that you're dealing with. You got complementary businesses that are part of the equation. Your CPA, your law firm, et cetera. The janitorial service that comes in that cleans the place. All those come into play because your team is interacting with all those different individuals. And you want to make sure that in that whole ecosystem, it's a good ecosystem versus a toxic ecosystem.
Absolutely. It's all connected. It's all connected. All the stakeholders matter, and the best organizations know that.
So let's dive deeper into what it is that you guys do and how you work with companies.
Yeah, absolutely. So we work in two major ways. Work with a lot of leading media publications in the country and the world to recognize best places to work, either in a region or in an industry. For example, we have the Sacramento Bee. We worked with the Sacramento Bee to find the best places to work in California. We've done that in Chicago with the Chicago Sun-Times. We've done that in Seattle with Seattle Magazine. We serve as the research arm to a lot of these programs where they participate. Company signs up and says, I want to participate in this program to see if I can be recognized. No promises made, you participate, and then we survey your people. And if the data is right, then you can be recognized. Sometimes that doesn't happen. Say, better luck next year, right? That's one of the things that we do. And then the other one is, because we have worked with over 10,000 organizations and have recognized thousands of organizations across those 10,000 as truly amazing workplaces, we have a lot of data, a lot of benchmarks, a lot of best practices on what it takes to become a great workplace. And so we consult organizations that want to go through that journey, starting with understanding what their employees are spending in the moment. So we do surveys, we do assessments, focus groups. And then what do we do with the data to help create a better workplace for everybody where everybody thrives? So we advise the leadership team, we put together action plans, we support the HR teams in using that data in a helpful way to create some actionable outcomes.
Oh, okay. So really you're taking the data and playing it back to the leadership team anonymously, but more importantly, it's giving them a real assessment of what their environment is at the workplace. Because a lot of times people have a fallacy that everything is wonderful and it may not really be wonderful.
Yes, or they don't know what things are like, but they have a little voice in the back of their head saying it's not very good. So as soon as they get the data back, they just walk away from that spreadsheet very slowly and never touch it again. There's a lot of that where they have the data, but they decide not to do anything with it, which is even worse than if you did not ask your employees how they feel. It's better to do this kind of project where you're trying to improve the workplace and asking your employees how they feel when you do have a plan to act on the data. Otherwise, don't do it. It's just a waste of everybody's time, waste of your resources. If you're not ready to act on the feedback, don't ask for it. Simple. If you are, ask for it, get the feedback, and then set up a system where the data becomes a conversation in the leadership team, which then turns into action plans that the leadership team is accountable for, shares publicly across the organization, and that there's an accountability system where it's not something that starts and then fizzles out for a few months. We help organizations with all of that, setting up, like, here's how you take your data into a 12-month action planning system, where in 12 months, you will have worked on all of these things, and we guarantee there's going to be some movement in the data because you are acting on it. A lot of organizations drop off after they kick it off.
Really? I'm surprised, because I would think that data would wake somebody up and go, man, I got to do some things different. Because as we know, a thriving culture in a company fuels the growth and doesn't cost a lot of money. And more importantly, it creates longevity of employees, and people will stay where they could be offered more money, but they'll stay where they're at because of the fact that they're happy with what they're doing. They know that they're making a difference and they love where they're working.
Yeah, and I think it often gets stalled because there are good intentions, but let's say you're the CEO of an organization and you get your results back and you find out that they're not as good as you thought they were. People are not as happy as you thought they were, and they have specific gripes about what's going on. It's hard to understand, where do I start? How do I work on these things? How do I change it? This is not as easy as looking at a P&L and trying to find out, where do I cut costs, or what are some products that I can start, you know, putting some R&D money into to throw out there. It's a lot harder because it's people. Right? People are complicated, and people change, and people sometimes are not fully clear. Sometimes you get data, but you don't understand what it means. We help those organizations by bringing it down to a handful of recommendations. We do a lot of statistical work on the back end to find out what are the things that if you were only to work on two or three, they would make the biggest impact to the entire culture. Right. We know that time's finite. We know that attention's finite, and so are resources. So what if we look at the top three that will help you lift all boats? And then we present what that looks like and how you can actually work on it. A lot of leaders just don't know how to go to that. Even within HR, some HR leaders look at that data and think, okay, I know I got to work on this, but it's so overwhelming and it's incomplete.
I'll just put it in a drawer and ignore it.
Yeah, I'll just say, thank you for your feedback, everybody. Appreciate it. Here's our numbers and pizza party next Friday. And they think that's going to help. And they know that it won't, but a lot of it sometimes feels like it's intimidating to start working stuff like this. So we try to help.
So can you share a story of how you guys worked with a company and transformed them to where their whole environment changed and they became a super fan of you guys and recommended you to other companies?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's the story of a biotech company that we worked with where part of the project was us having a conversation with the leadership team to understand why their innovation had gone down. They were not putting out as many patents as they had in the past that had dropped off quite a bit recently. And they are sizable enough organization where they thought nothing's really changed. So what's going on? So they brought us in, did a little bit of research. And then we had a conversation where we presented these findings to the executive leadership team. And in that conversation, we found something that ended up transforming their organization for the next few years. One of the observations we made is people don't feel proud about the work that they're doing anymore. Pride levels in the work that they're doing have dropped off the last few years. Why do you think that is? So we talked about that for a second. And then through the conversation, we found out that if you walk the halls of their office, of their main headquarters, you would not know that they're a biotech company. You would not know that the work that they're doing is actually saving lives and improving lives of the people out there. So we said, what if we brought more of that in somehow, telling those stories of patients who have been transformed because of the medicine that you created? And so it's something as simple as putting up some posters, telling stories of patients, bringing in patients to town halls every now and then to talk about how the pulmonary disease medicine that they had helped change their life in front of all the employees, totally boosted innovation. So for the next few years, they were more excited, they were more proud, and they were putting out patents like never before. Sometimes it's something as small as that, right? And you need sometimes a third party that does not live it every day to make those kind of observations. And it made a big difference to what they thought was possible and made them much more innovative than they were before.
Like you could clearly say that they're a super fan of how you transformed that company.
Super fan. Yeah, they're a super fan. And they told us, we really appreciate that you just came here and told us something that we have lived and seen for years, but we never understood because we just live in it. It's always hard to describe the place you're in because you just take it in and you just know it and you don't see the details of it anymore. So when we did the research, we asked employees how they felt and then we zeroed in on a couple of key changes that they could make to make some big impact. It mattered and they were really excited about it.
Yeah. It's like recognizing the janitor in the hospital because their job is to keep the place clean, keep the germs down and everything else. So they're saving lives by what they're doing. So that's exactly what you're talking about, is making that person feel empowered and go, man, I make a difference.
It's funny that you say that because it reminds me of another quick story where we were working with this healthcare system and we were presenting the findings to their leadership team and trying to find some areas that we could focus on for the next 12 months for them to act on. And so in one of the breaks, I make my way to the bathroom. And on the way back, I bump into a janitor who was cleaning the halls. And we talk for a second. We exchange where we're from. And I ask him, like, so what is it that you do here? And I'll never forget his response because it totally encapsulates what you just mentioned, Freddie. Instead of saying, I mop the floors and I clean the bathrooms and I sweep the offices, right? He said, without missing a beat, is I help doctors save lives.
Powerful statement.
There wasn't an ounce of irony in there. He looked at him and he looked proud. Like, I help doctors save lives by keeping their offices clean. And I believed him. He was definitely a super fan. He was definitely someone that loved his job and saw the greater purpose in his job.
Yeah. Completely game changer. Complete game changer. Mm-hmm. It's a little mindset click and whole different attitude.
Absolutely. And he was so proud of it. And never forget that moment in that face. He looked like he was the CEO.
Yeah.
He was acting
in a way. He's the CEO of what he's doing. At the end of the day, he's empowered. He feels empowered. It's his responsibility. So it's a whole different ballgame than me saying, hey, John, you need to mop all this stuff and clean it up. You're in charge of this, and it's your responsibility to take care of that. Whole different approach.
And like you mentioned earlier, like the small things are the big things, is he didn't get there just naturally. He got there because many people, managers, coworkers, and the way that he was onboarded, gave him all of these signals saying, you matter. You're part of this larger mission to save lives. And here's how your role impacts that mission. And we are appreciative for all the great work you do to help everybody else do their job.
Bingo. You tell that, said it better.
Yeah. You tell all those messages, right, in different ways. And then he's like, yeah, that's right. Because people sometimes forget that stuff. Even if it's completely true and everybody knows it in their mind, people focus on their work. They're busy. They're going through their spreadsheet. They're going through their chores. And if you don't remind them of how important they are to the greater mission, they'll forget. So you have to like rinse and repeat every single day.
Yeah, absolutely correct. I use this example a lot, but it's the best example that I can utilize. Think of a racing rowing team. You got eight people in the boat. Everybody has a single oar. You got to get everybody in going into one direction, one mission, and more importantly, in synchronization. Otherwise, that boat's not going nowhere. It's not even going in a circle. So it's just wobbling like this, going no place. So what you're talking about is really is getting everybody onto that racing rowboat. They all know what the mission is. They're onboarded in the right way. And that boat flies through the water.
Yeah. Clarity. Like the clarity of knowing why is it important and how do we succeed? Right.
Yep.
Answering those questions constantly for your employees. Themes basic. A lot of organizations don't do it. If you can answer those questions, if you're a manager, you can answer those questions for your people on a regular basis, you will see your performance skyrocket.
Because most of the time, it doesn't cost you any money.
They forget. It doesn't cost you any money.
It doesn't cost you any money.
It literally costs you 5 minutes per one-on-one, right? On a weekly basis with each employee. Yep. That's it. It's the best return on investment that you can have out there. More than anything else you can spend on is just spending 5 minutes in your next one-on-one with your employee. Say, hey, let me remind you why your role is so important to the work that we do here. Going through that. Does that make sense to you? Do you understand now what I hope you can achieve? Because I have high expectations for you.
Goes back now, to the little things are really the big things. And that's a little thing that really has a big impact.
Absolutely.
And now you're getting everybody fired up. And then that energy is contagious, number one. Number two, it transcends to all stakeholders because the conversations are different. I had a guest on a couple shows back, and he talked about the relationship he had with the supplier. They'd get together, they'd have lunch once in a while, they had a good relationship, and they were a super fan of him. When the pandemic hit, he needed 500 laptops like that. And other people were scrambling for laptops like that. Guess who got them first?
That's right.
He did.
It pays to do stuff like that. You never know when you'll need it. And I think it also then transcends the relationship from just business, which is important. We all got to do it. But if the relationship is just business where you give me this, I give you that, and then we'll see you next time the contract renews, it's a commodity. They can get that anywhere else. If you're a vendor, if you're a customer, whoever is, you can get that anywhere else because it's what everybody else is doing. But if you're able to find a way to transcend that and really invest in the relationship and treat people like people, you automatically stand out. And the next time you might need something like that, you're going to focus on the people like hear about this person more than just a transaction. I'm going to see what I can do to help them. And that goes the same way with employees, right? Yep.
That's how you create super fans.
And you create super fans. It's like, it's a virtuous cycle because whenever employees see that their organization is going a little bit above and beyond what they would be in other organizations by either investing more in their training or asking their thoughts on an upcoming decision or listening to their feedback on recent changes, they are then going to go above and beyond for the organization, which then gives the organization an opportunity to go above and beyond back to the employee because things are getting better, right? So it's a virtuous cycle. It's like they're depositing in each other's checking accounts and it's growing. And you're having people that thrive and an organization that thrive at the same time. There's no trade-off there.
Right. Absolutely right. And then the revenue line goes.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's a W for everybody.
Absolutely.
So what are some of the things that you've encountered that are really simple things that a business owner could do right off the bat from this episode that they could do a simple assessment of themselves and apply it right away to their business?
That's a great question. I would say there's two things that anybody out there can do right away tomorrow. And I can assure you that it will have an impact on how your people feel about your organization. And this is especially true if you are in the C-suite, senior leader, executive. If you can show this or do this the next time you can, watch out. You're going to just see a radical change. And so one is the next time that you're in a room with people that are in lower roles or have less power than you do and talking about a problem or you're thinking through a solution, be the very last person in the room to speak. Do not share your solution. Do not share your thoughts. Do not share your perspective on it. Put it out there saying, this is something that I'm trying to figure out. I'd love to get your thoughts, and be quiet until it's uncomfortable. You want the rest of the room to be able to share what they think in a way that feels safe. And in order to do that, you need to be quiet. Because as soon as you say something, everybody will have to make a decision. Do I agree or disagree with my boss? Right? And if I agree, then you're really losing innovation power right there. Because then they're just going to say, yeah, okay, I guess I don't have to think about it so much more. I'm just going to go ahead and follow the line. If you disagree, you're going to think, do I feel comfortable and safe enough to disagree with my boss in front of everybody else? Even if it's in private, do I feel comfortable to disagree with my boss, period? Right?
Right.
Or do I feel comfortable disagreeing with the CEO?
Right.
And if you don't, you're not going to think that. You're going to be quiet and be like, oh, okay, yeah, I think I like that too. You're not going to say what you really believe. So you got to be quiet. Be the last person to speak because you have power. You need to give power back to the rest of the room. You show that by showing them that they're important and you value their feedback. Two, and this one's a little bit trickier, is look at the information that maybe you're not sharing with your people about how the organization is doing and see how much of that you can share in a comfortable way. What I mean is right now we're going through economic uncertainty, regardless of where you are. We just get this all the time. People have questions about what is the year going to look like? What can I expect? How do I prepare my business for that? All the employees are reading the news that you're reading. If all that they're hearing is positive, rosy statements, they're going to think, they're not telling me something. Either it's so bad that they don't want to say anything about it, or they have no clue how to address this. And then I don't feel very confident about my leadership. You have to say something. You have to acknowledge the situation, even if you don't have a plan for it. That is much more positive and helpful to your employees if then you're completely quiet about it and only share the rosy good news. Again, it shows that you can be transparent. It shows that you trust their perspective and that they can handle the truth. And also you fill the information vacuum that otherwise is really going to hurt you.
Yeah, very well said. Very good advice. Because I was running a company a few years ago and they had a negative net income. The revenue was spotty and all that kind of stuff. And I shared it with the team because I was general manager. This is where we're at. And I solicited ideas of what we can do. And people came up with some, and I did what you said, shut up. And people came up with some great ideas that we implemented and it made some big differences. So sometimes just as you said, Jaime, you got to just step out of your own way.
That's really it. And it's super simple. You just put it out there be quiet. And people will ask you, what do you think we should do? Right? You might get that. And you can say, I trust everybody's judgment here. I'd love to get your thoughts. I really want to hear from everybody here. What do you all think? And if you really want to take it to the next level, is if you hear everybody, you share your thoughts on the situation, and then somebody disagrees with you, that's a great thing. You want to celebrate that like you won the lottery. Thank you so much for pointing that out. I think you're right. I think I did miss that. So thank you for hearing your feedback, Betty. I'll take that into consideration. That is another signal that you send to the rest of the organization that it is okay to disagree as long as you do it respectfully, because then we all get better.
Right.
You don't want to go ahead and say, well, no, Betty, what you're not understanding is that this happens and that happens.
Or right away, you're kind of condescending.
Shooting down innovation in the future. Exactly. So that's another quick way. Elevate your team and empowering your team.
Yep. The little things are really the big things.
They matter.
They matter.
They absolutely matter.
Jaime, as we get close to the end of the show here, how can people find you?
Yeah, so I'm on LinkedIn. Happy to connect with anybody out there that wants to talk more about this. You can also contact us at Best Companies Group by going to bestcompaniesgroup.com and sending us a note. We'll give you all the information about what we do and how we can help you. And if you want to contact me directly, you can just go to my website too. It's JaimeRoulsZapata.com and have some resources there. I also sometimes speak on these topics if that's of interest, if anybody out there wants to hear more about it, or if you just want to connect and get to know each other, I'd love to talk about you.
Great. Well, we'll make sure that's in the show notes. Thank you so much for your time. You and I could probably talk on this for days.
Had a great time.
Thank you so much, and we look forward to having you on the show down the road again.
Sounds good.
Before we wrap, here's your quick debrief. Every conversation focuses on a single pillar of the Superfans framework, 9 road-tested steps that turn a spark of possibility into unstoppable, scalable prosperity. The 9 pillars. S, start, strategic positioning and purpose. U, unite stakeholder synergy. P, propel magnetic messaging. E, elevate every stakeholder experience. R, rally referrals and reputation. F, foster financial fitness. A, automate for exponential leverage. N, nurture lifetime loyalty. S, scale and sustain prosperity. Each episode concludes with a superfan's success spark, a practical guest-driven action distilled from today's conversation that you can implement within 24 hours. Follow the 9-episode cycle. Apply every spark, and you'll build a proven playbook for turning stakeholders into loyal superfans, accelerating referrals, reputation, and revenue. Here's this episode's Superfan Success Spark. E, elevate every stakeholder experience. So here's the top insight. An inspired employee is over 2 times more productive than an average employee. When you recognize somebody publicly, you're not just fueling their motivation. You're telling the entire team what success looks like. Jaime Raul Zapata. So here's a 24-hour action step. Pick 1 team member who went above and beyond this week and recognize them in front of your entire staff. Be specific about what they did and highlight how it ties to your company's mission. Thank you for listening. And please be a superfan, superstar, and subscribe to this podcast. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us for another episode of the Business Superfans Podcast. If you found today's conversation valuable, don't forget to hit that subscribe button, leave us a review, and share this episode with someone who could use these powerful insights to level up their business. Remember, creating business superfans isn't just about your customers. It's about fostering genuine, impactful connections across your entire business ecosystem. When you invest in those relationships, success doesn't just happen, it accelerates. Until next time, I'm your host, Freddie D. Let's keep building superfans, creating unstoppable momentum, and driving your business toward extraordinary success. See you in the next episode.
We hope you took away some useful knowledge from today's episode of the Business Superfans Podcast. The path to success relies on taking action. So go over to BusinessSuperfans.com and get your hands on the book if you haven't already. Join the Accelerator community and take that first step in generating a team of passionate supporters for your business. Join us on the next episode as we continue guiding you on your journey to achieve flourishing success in business.